I hope you all had a good day. I know I sure did. Had a pretty good day. We went and helped Andrew move. And thank God for the opportunities that we're getting in many areas that people have called me today and many things. But I thank God for His many blessings upon me. And as He's been better than good to me, and I know He has to you too. And after that message this morning, I don't know what to do. But God does. God knows what He's doing. I didn't get as much study as I wanted to, but with the help of the Lord tonight, if you would, turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, a familiar passage. You can remain seated because I'm going to read about 18 verses there. 19 verses, rather. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, speaking of a man of God in the Bible, this is one that has taught me a lot. And this is one that taught me how to do a lot of things, even though I've never met the man. But Elijah was a man of God. It speaks of two people in the Word of God right here in 1 Kings chapter 19. One that's great and one that's not so great. And that's Elijah and then Jezebel. It talks of the two, but if you found your spot, say amen. All right, we'll begin to read in verse 1. And the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and me more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went into the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. That's phenomenal. Unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? There's the second time. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Maholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu Jehu shall Elisha slay? Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which hath not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he went with the 12th. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left, I'm going to read on, and he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. We thank you, Lord, for this word. Pray God you'd help us tonight. We do love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach on this thought tonight with the help of the Lord alone. I'm going to preach on the thought of a life following Christ. A life following Christ. The man of God there, Elijah, that we've seen and we've heard about our whole lives probably. Elijah is one of the most well-known men of God in the Bible probably, along with Elisha that it was talking about there. And Elijah, as he was going on his way, he was going through a tough time. He was having a tough time. And that tells me tonight that it is okay and it will happen to a Christian and also a man of God, that you will sometimes have a tough time. But if you be obedient to God, He'll give you the way that He wants you to go. I thank God for the many blessings that He's bestowed upon my life, and I have not yet had to go to a cave, and I have not yet had to walk 40 miles, 40 days and 40 nights to another place because God said to. I have not. But I'm going to preach on that thought of a life following Christ. As God delivered me and helped me today, I wrote a few notes down about this text here. And I tell you is that Elisha, as he was going on his life, Elisha was a very close to God, man of God. He was a very powerful, if you will, man of God. Elisha, if you know anything about him, Elisha has lived a life that was pleasing unto God. He had his mantle. He had the things. But, you know, he had somebody that was looking up to him that had began to look up to him starting in chapter 20 there. Which was who? Elisha. Elisha began to, he had spoken to Elisha there, and he had went on a little farther, and in the book of 2 Kings you'll see that Elisha started to come into play, and as Elisha wanted more of what Elijah had, the double portion of what Elisha had. But you know, if somebody is living a Christ-centered lifestyle today, people should be looking up to you as their Elijah. I pray that somebody's looking up to me as their Elisha. As their Elijah, rather. I know Camden come up to me earlier and said, "When I grow up, I want to be a preacher." Well, I tell you, that's a blessing to me because he wants to be something that's a very rare thing nowadays. Most people don't want to be a preacher. And I've told a few people, but I've told a few people who have asked me, "How do you know about the calling of Christ? How do you know about being called to be a preacher? How do you know about all this stuff?" I say, run the other way if you can. You don't want to be it. Run the other way. But if you cannot get away from it, you better turn around. Because if you can get away from the call of God, you never got called. But if you can't get away from the call of God, you can assure yourself you've been called. You better take heed to the fact. You better stop. And at some point, you better give up and give it to God. Because you won't make it far. You might end up like Elijah. Elisha ran, but not from God. He ran because others were trying to kill him. Because he was the only one left. He was the only one there. But as I preach over the thought of a life following Christ, we see that there's four things that you have to do first. Four things that you have to do. We see here in verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Let me tell you, the first thing that you have to do to go and live in a life following Christ is this. Stop. One simple word. Stop. You have to stop and lay down. Rest, because when your mind is running with work and all this other stuff, you cannot think clearly about God. You need to find you a juniper tree. Find you somewhere to just sit down. Rest. Stop what you're doing and listen to God. You have to go to your prayer closet. You need a prayer closet to go to. Have you ever seen the movie War Room? Has anybody ever seen that movie? That's a phenomenal movie. And I tell you, that lady there went, she fought battles in that prayer room. She fought clear battles in that prayer room. Spiritual warfare, which we all go through, and doubt of salvation, which we all go through. But I want to tell you something, that you have to stop, and you don't want to go the wrong way. Amen. You don't want to go the wrong way when it comes to God. If God's calling you to salvation and you think it's a call to preach, you're going the wrong way. If God's calling you to preach and you think it's a salvation, you're still going the wrong way. Any way you look at it, if you're not going God's way, you're going the wrong way. Amen. But I tell you, is that many people in this life, if Elisha wouldn't have been obedient to God, he wouldn't have seen what he's seen. He wouldn't have even come in contact with Elisha. Imagine that. And from verses 19 to verses 21 was the call of Elisha. If you knew half the things I know about Elisha, I hope you do. But oh my goodness, if he wouldn't have been obedient to Elijah. I mean, Elijah wouldn't have been obedient to God at that place, he would not have even come in contact with Elisha, the man of God that followed him until he was caught up in the air by a chariot of fire. Elisha didn't die in this world. I don't know if you knew that. But Elisha did not die. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire along with Enoch. He was here and then he wasn't. That's Enoch. What I tell you is that that's a clear picture that Elisha lived a God-centered lifestyle. I think Elisha's going to be one of the witnesses. Actually, I know Elisha's going to be one of the witnesses. You can read it in the book of Malachi chapter 6. He'll be one of the witnesses, the two witnesses in the street after the rapture of God's people. Why? Because it says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this is the judgment. All have to die. And it just happens to be that there was two in the Bible that didn't die, which was Enoch and Elijah. You convince me otherwise, I don't know. But I tell you something, that in the book of Malachi chapter 6, it will clearly state to you that Elijah is one of the two witnesses. And it also talks about the two witnesses in Revelation 12. And I tell you is that when you go and you live a life of following Christ, and when the Christ-centered lifestyle and a life, you know, that Christ is leading, and you're looking towards Him. We're looking back at the cross today. They were looking towards the cross that day. They were looking ahead. They were looking at the cross. We're looking back at the cross. We have faith because it already happened. They have faith because it hadn't happened yet. I don't know how they had faith, because they walked with God. They lived with God. They met God on a personal basis. And I tell you something about it, is that when we come into the life as a follower of Christ, we have to stop first. Stop. I've heard that in the military that they go by that. Stop, look, listen, smell. Is that right? Do y'all know? Army? Anybody in the Army? Stop, look, listen, smell. That's what I've heard. Called SEALs. Called SEALs is what I've heard. And I tell you is that anyways, y'all weren't in there long enough, I don't guess. Anyways, there was a thing about it was, is that there is that stop, look, listen, smell kind of thing. Stop, look, listen, smell. And that goes well with the man of God. That goes well with the child of God. That goes well with all of us, because you know we have to do those things to hear God. We have to do those things to hear God. We have to do those things to see God. We have to do those things. You ain't going to smell God, I don't think. But the thing about it is that we have to stop first and get our grips. Because if you don't stop doing what you're doing right now, if you don't stop with the crazy lifestyle and all the stuff going on here and there and here and there, you'll never be able to hear God. Ask me how. I'll tell you how, because I've been there. And if you get to the point where you can't hear God, it's probably because you've just got so much other stuff surrounding your mind that God can't be entered into it. You're not giving Him any room. We have to stop. Just like Elisha did, he laid down and then he laid down under a juniper tree. And it literally says, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Would he have known that he needed that? That it was going to be there if he wouldn't have stopped first? Nope. He sure wouldn't have. You got to stop first. But anyways, we'll go on. And then we see that through all this whole thing, and it says in verse 8, and he arose and did eat, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights in the Horeb of the Mount of God. You have to do the second thing. Look. You got to look. As we went up through here, we've seen in this whole entire text of all 21 verses, we've seen that he had to look for stuff. He had to look for the mount. He had to look for the cave. He had to look for God. He had to listen for God. He had to stop first. Then he had to look. You got to be observant of your surroundings. You know, the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says that the devil is like a roaring lion. The adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, we have to look at the things around us and see that, okay, that's giving him a crack. Okay, this is giving him a crack. Okay, I can't go on and on about the things that could give the devil just an inch. You heard many times that give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. I assure you that if you give him an inch, he will take a full mile. Amen? Yeah, amen. He will take a full mile. And I tell you, we have to look for God. What does the Bible say in the book of James chapter 4, verse 8? Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Do you expect God to draw nigh to you first? No. You probably do. But what we have to do is we have to draw nigh to Him first. We have to look for Him and draw close to Him and get real close up underneath His wing and realize, hey God, I know You're there and I know You're going to be here for me. And we have to look for Him and say, hey, I have already stopped. I'm looking for You, God. Where are You? And wherever You are, here am I. You know, the thing about it is, I cannot exactly remember where this is, but I wish I could. But it says, I think it's Jeremiah says in the Bible, he says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. There was a battle going on there, and He was the one that was willing to do it. That's how we should look at it as Christians. We might think we don't have enough time for God, but if you don't have enough time for God, you don't have enough time for anything. Amen. But let me tell you something, is that when you get to the point where you just don't know where to go, say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm willing to do it. If nobody else is willing to do it, I'll step up and take the spot of it. I'll step up and take the place. I'll step up and fill the footsteps. I'll fill the gaps. Because God, I know You're going to be there with me. Did Elijah understand every single thing that he was going through? Probably not. I don't believe that he did. But what he did do is he turned his ears, his eyes, his nose, and his mouth, and his whole body up to God. And said, Lord, here am I. What doest thou here, Elisha? What doest thou here? And he was just simply jealous. I'm jealous of the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. What they had in place for the past years, they have forsook. They no longer cared about it anymore. They no longer cared about it. They had turned on what God had originally put out for them. They had turned on it. And I tell you is that we have to stop in a life of following Christ. And then we have to look for what God has for us. That's what we simply have to do. And then we see on in verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So what's the third thing we had to do? First thing we had to do, we had to stop. Then we had to look. Now we got to listen. If you're not listening and your mind and you're listening to all the other stuff of the world, you cannot have any place for God. If you're not leaving any place for God, you cannot hear Him. It's somewhere in the book of Revelations where it talks about that you have to have an ear for Him. I believe it's in chapter 2. Chapter 2. And I tell you is that what we have to do in these days is we have to listen to God. We have to listen to what He has for us. I promise you, as unprepared as I am to preach this message tonight, I promise you, all it has to be is obedience. It has to just be obedience. But you know, the one thing about it is in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verse 10, I'm sure every single one of you know that verse. Every single one of you probably knows 46, verse 10. It says this: "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." So the thing that we have to do there is what it's already explained to us. We have to stop. We have to look and realize that He's God. And you know what else we have to do? We have to listen in that too. We have to listen and be still and know that He's God. You know, I heard a man say one time, he said this. He said, "If you stop and listen, you may hear the enemy coming." Before you can ever see him at a distance, before you can ever see him about to break your house down, before you can ever see him doing this and that, you can always hear him first. How? How can you hear him first? Well, my best illustration to the facts of being able to hear something before you see something is you can hear who's knocking at the door before you can see who's knocking at the door. Amen. But I tell you is that the thing about it is that when the devil comes and when he brings his things up, maybe you'll see that maybe your husband or your wife is acting a weird way. Maybe you'll see that maybe your husband or your wife is not speaking correctly. Maybe they're getting out of hand a little bit. Maybe you need to straighten them up a little bit. But then you'll see that maybe your husband or your wife is doing this or doing that, staying out later than they used to, doing this and that that they used to do, so on and so on and so on, and then you'll realize that the devil's getting his inch because of one person that's doing something wrong. It's that easy. Like I've said before, if we're fighting with ourselves, we can't see nor hear the adversary coming. We can't see him. We can't hear him because we've paid attention to something else. And it works the same way in our lives as Christians. When we are trying to focus on God, maybe we get so overwhelmed with being focused on God, and then one day we go and try to have some fun, and then God's trying to tell us something, but we're no longer listening. We have to stop first. Then we have to look. And then we have to listen. Because if you listen close enough, you'll be able to see the adversary. You'll be able to hear the adversary. Excuse me. You know, I bet you they taught y'all that in military, surely. That if you just listen, maybe you can hear them coming. Maybe you can hear the commotion. Maybe you can hear this and that. If you just be quiet and sit down for a second, maybe you could hear something. Did they tell you that? In a roundabout thing. And I tell you is that that's what it takes for a child of God to do in this day, because you say, "I'm not a preacher. I don't have to listen to God." Wrong. Wrong. If J.D. wouldn't have listened to God this morning, he wouldn't have sung the three songs that he sung. You know, if Dad wouldn't listen to God, how would he know how to teach all this stuff? Because he studied? Well, it took listening to God to study. It took listening to God to be able to get spiritual discernment to understand the Word of God. If you don't think God's not going to use you in this church right here, then you're crazy. Because God's got a part for every person in here. You're the one that's not willing. I'm not pointing any fingers because everybody's pretty willing here. But the thing about it is that God will use you and you have to listen to Him in an every way basis. Every day basis. Hey God, I'm coming to you this morning. Tell me what you want me to do. Put me something in front of me. Put someone in front of me that I can talk to. Put somebody to witness to. We have a God to witness to every day. And I promise you, that you have, at some point of time throughout your day, some time to tell somebody about Christ. One time at least to tell somebody about Christ. And if you do not do it, then you're the one being disobedient, ultimately. But I'm pointing fingers at myself too. But the thing about it is that we have to listen to God because sometimes we're lack of words. And if we're lack of words, how about Jeremiah? When I preached on him the other day in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, how about him? He said, I can't speak, Lord. I can't speak for I'm a child. I don't understand. But we're all child. We're all children. We're all children of God. And I tell you is that if we just listen to Him, He will feed you with every single word that you need to say. Am I right? Am I right? He will feed you with every single word that you ever need to say. And I thank God for it. Because if it wasn't for God feeding me of every word that I needed to say, there wouldn't be near messages come out the way they could, because my much speaking ain't nothing. My voice ain't nothing. I barely can even talk to anybody. I can talk a long time. Don't get me wrong. Y'all know that. I can talk a long time, but the whole thing of the words that come out. Am I hurting somebody by the words that come out? Am I doing this with the words that come out of my mouth? What am I doing with my words? Take some ears. You gotta have ears to hear the Lord. And when you listen to the Lord, He'll direct you in your words. I can assure you He'll direct you with every single word that you ever need to worry about. And then we go on to verse 18, and then we'll see something else. As we go on down through there, you'll see that it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face with his mantle, in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering, in the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" You'll see that the first thing that he done there in verse 13 is that, and it was so when Elijah heard it. He had his ears prepared to hear what the Lord had for him. You have to prepare yourself. And then he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. He was obedient to what God had told him to do. He was obedient. And then he said, "I have been very jealous." And he told him of all the things there. And then in verse 15, he said this. He said, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." God had a plan for him already right there. You need to go anoint this king, this person to be a king over Syria. You need to anoint this person to be king over Israel. And then you need to go to Elisha. And I tell you that Elisha, the life of Elisha, is the most phenomenal person that you can read of in the Word of God, in my opinion. The life of Elijah and what kind of determination that Elisha had to be the double portion of Elijah. To be the double portion of Elijah, you know, when he killed that Shunammite woman's child, well, God done the healing, but He done the showing up. And if he wouldn't have showed up, she would have been dead. She would have been dead, but she was dead. And she was rose. And I thank God that if you just stop, if you just look, if you just listen, you might not know who you're talking to right now. You might not know who you're talking to when you're witnessing to somebody, but first you gotta stop, look, and then see that that person over there needs some help. That person over there needs some talking to. That person over there maybe needs some motivation. Maybe that person's having a tough day. And maybe one word that you say to them might uplift their spirit, and then them have a better day. Are you into uplifting spirits? Because I am. I'm into helping people throughout their day. I'm into motivating people. There was somebody that messaged me earlier and just talking about the sermon audio app and how that it was so it's so phenomenal in their life, and how they just can't, because of work, they can never make it to church hardly. But when they do, they're grateful. But when they can't, they can have sermon audio to listen to. But you know, if it wasn't for the obedience of this church, and if it wasn't for the listening of this church, and if it wasn't for the spirit in this church, and the willingness of this church, and the ties of this church, and everything like that, how could it be possible? It couldn't be. It couldn't be, but because one can't make it here, and if we were to put sermon audio up just for the one, it would be worth it. It would be worth it. And I tell you is that it's great to know that when God has a plan for you and you're obedient to it, God will subdue that plan all the way until the end of the world. God will use that plan all the way to the end of the world. God will have that plan, and it might grow into something much bigger than you ever thought it would be. You know, this church has begun to grow, and I don't know what's happened here lately, but this church has begun to grow. And when we continue to just push and invite and tell people about Christ and invite them and tell them, say, hey, come on, come help us. Come learn. Come do this. We have a big youth program. We're doing this youth thing. We're doing this youth thing. We're doing this and that and this and that. We have a music ministry. We have a bus ministry. We have all this kind of stuff. It doesn't give them any excuse to not come to the house of God. It doesn't. Where's the excuse then? Because most of the time their excuse is, well, their excuse is, I'm sick. I don't know how to fix that excuse, but God does, and He'll handle it. But I know a few right now at this present moment that's sick. But anyways, I tell you is that if we could go on this life and look at people and say, hey, come to church. Hey, do you have another church? No. Come to church. These cards, the cards that we have back there, are phenomenal. I've left those things all over the place. There's people finding those cards all over the place. I left one at the desk at Marathon this morning. And it was just a random spot. But when you pull your wallet out, to pay for your food or whatever you're getting there, just sit a card on the thing. Sit it right beside the card thing, because people got to look down at the card thing and then they see the card there. It's funny. I mean, it's nice, but it's a gesture to people that some people may be looking for a church. That might be an answer to prayer for those people. But it took obedience. It took, not from me now. I'm not just raising up my own self, because I'm sure many of you do the same thing. What I tell you is that you got to stop. You got to look, you got to listen, and you got to realize that, hey, God, we know You're with us here at Mountain Valley Baptist Church. We know You're here, but God, we're stopping, we're stooping down real low, and we're giving You the space to work. Because God, if You weren't working, then nobody else, everything else would be in vain. If God weren't doing the work, everything would be in vain. Every growth process would be in vain. Every music ministry, bus ministry, every money, every dollar that you put in that tithe would be in vain. If God were not the leader of the pack. It takes the leadership of Christ to lead you exactly where you want to go, where He wants you. You might not want to be there, but He might want you there. But you know, there's something about that Mount Horeb that that Elijah went to, and he went there, and he went there for 40. It took him 40 days to get to that cave, 40 days and 40 nights. It says that's a long haul, especially walking. But it took him that long to get to that cave. But when he got there, he knew that God would show up. He was expecting God to show up. I believe that Elijah was expecting God to show up and move in that cave there. And I tell you, is that Mount Horeb that it's talking about? Just like I said this morning about Calvary and Mount Moriah, Mount Horeb is the same place as Mount Sinai, which is where Moses went up with the Ten Commandments. There's something about that, and if the Lord would give it to me right now, I would tell you about it. But I tell you is that the Mount Sinai there, you know, there was many things that went up on Mount Sinai. And the Ten Commandments is one of them. And when the Ten Commandments went up on Mount Sinai and Moses took them up there, Moses, you know, he had the life. He was the man of God. He may have had a stutter, but he was the man of God at that time. He was well known. Everybody knew of Moses. Everybody done all that. And God anointed Moses to go up on top of Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments that we still go by today. Think about that life. But he also got mad when he come back down and he broke the first Ten Commandments. He broke the first one, but we see that when Elisha went to that place on Horeb, that Elisha went there expecting God to be there. He went thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. But if he wouldn't have stopped there at the bottom side, if he wouldn't have stopped there, and if he wouldn't have went to the wilderness, and if he wouldn't have listened to God to go to a place and go to sleep and stop under a juniper tree and rest and then go on and then find that cake that the angel of the Lord had baked from him. I tell you, Mom brought this up to my attention the other day, but the phenomenal thing about it is, you know, when you're lacking of food today, why do we not have faith for God to provide that? He provided it then. Why don't you look on a little farther and talk about that woman. That woman who was baking that cake but didn't have enough for the man of God. And he said, well, bake me a cake first. She baked him a cake first. And then every time she went back in, there was more in the barrel. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, is that that's how it works for us today. If we give God what's God's first, there'll always be more when we go back into the barrel. Amen. There'll always be more. The man of God in the Bible was talked about at what the man of God in the Bible was looked highly upon. He was. He was looked highly upon. I'm nothing. I'm nothing at all. But I tell you is that the man of God there is supposed to be fed first. The man of God is supposed to be first there, just as it was in the Bible. You run to the man of God. You run to the person. You run to God. You run to all that stuff because I tell you, that will only help you to be a better Christ-centered liver. Now, I'm nothing. And I want you to know that. My head ain't getting big. But I promise you is that just like Elijah with that woman there, you need to bake me a cake first. Amen. I'm just kidding about that. That was a joke. But I tell you is that that's what it was. They baked the cake first for the man of God. And every time there was more. Every time there was more. Every time there was more. And that's how it works with God. Just like I said, we got to give God what's His first. And we have to stop. We have to look. We have to listen. And then we see in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. He thought there was zero the whole time. He thought, only I am left. That's what he said three times. Only I am left, but there's a remnant there. There's something left. And when it comes to God, you might doubt Him all you want to, and you might look in your bank account and say, there's zero in there. There's zero in my bank account. But if you're being obedient to God and you go the way that God wants you to go, there'll be a remnant left. They might only be zero now, but tomorrow you might wake up with 7,000. Amen. Because Elijah thought that there was zero and he was the only one left. But when he got back, and it says there in clear words that yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees that didn't bow to Baal, all the mouths that didn't kiss it. There's still 7,000 left. And there's a remnant. And then we see my last point and I'll be done. Stop. Look. Listen. Smell. Heard this from a man of God one time. And this is the only thing that I got about it. Smell. Because there might be a birthday cake cooking for you too. There might be a birthday cake cooking for you just like there was there for Elijah. You never know what God has cooking for you. You never know. Maybe God is cooking you up a blessing. Hey, it's something that we can joke about and it's something that we can have fun about. Because I tell you, is that Elijah found that cake and if it wasn't for that cake, he would have starved in those 40 days. But that angel had that cake prepared for him. And I tell you, is that we need to smell that cake. We need to look for God to have that cake prepared for us. We need to look for God that when we're hungry and when we don't know where to go, if we would just keep our eyes on Him, there's a good smell ahead. Amen. There's a good smell ahead. There might be a cake baking on the fire. There might be something for you, but you never know what God has cooking for you. Because maybe it might be a blessing. That's all I got tonight. Amen. But if you would stand here.